Hey folks, and welcome to Drinking Alone with Friends, a podcast where three friends drink alone together. My name's Chris.
What up? It's Tud.
And I'm Obert.
And guys, I just got a text message from the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line.
Okay.
They have officially finished rolling up the red carpet.
Oh, good.
They put it into storage for us too, so very nice of them. What else do we need them to do, or are we free to let them go?
Is this like a genie type situation where we have a certain amount of wishes and then they can be freed?
No. Part of their deal with winning the Super Bowl is they have to do everything we ask them to do up until we tell them that they're good.
Oh, so it's like one of those
kind of like a genie situation.
It's like a genie situation, except you already have unlimited wishes. And
okay.
And you know, I think the last wish you have to use is you're free, you know, wish for their freedom, etc. But you don't have to use it,
Chris,
right?
Oh, Chris, you said it. Now they're free.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, not yeah. Again. They're very lawyerly, those Kansas City Chiefs. They know how to weasel out of it, for sure.
Oh, man. Well, better luck than hopefully you win next year.
Turns out it was more of like a Dobby sock situation.
Yep, that's exactly it.
What are we going to do with these extra Dobby Han Solos sock that we didn't give up?
Oh, I mean,
got to maybe melt them down. Liquefy that carbonite. Get the Harrison Fords back into storage.
Oh boy.
Oh. I know, I feel like this is the beginning. This is like, you know, Mr. Oscars is like basically our Super Bowl. And then like this is like the beginning. So now we're in the preseason, nothing matters anymore.
Yep.
Really mail it in now, guys.
Just regular old Oktoberfest Palooza for a couple months.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in other news, old sports news here. UConn won the national championship a couple weeks ago. So congratulations to the UConn men's basketball team for beating Purdue by 15. Average margin of victory throughout the entire tournament was 14.4 points, I think. And they haven't played a close game in the NCAA tournament in 2 years now. So good for them. Back-to-back champions. Time to go for that three-peat.
Yeah. They're really good at basketballing.
That they are. I was talking to somebody who was texting me, said it wasn't a very exciting game. And I said, I've seen UConn win like 5 national championships. I don't remember any of them being exciting games.
No, they generally blow their opponent out. I'm happy with. I'd rather them win going away than have to, you know, cheer for a last second shot.
Right. Yeah. And the last 3 minutes of the game just be constant fouls and your heart's beating out of your chest. It's stressful. I mean, those games are fun to watch if you're not, you know, that big of a fan of one team or the other.
Yeah, I think the only close one was the first championship game against Duke.
Which I don't think I even watched because we were like in high school.
I think UConn won by 2 points.
That was the Emeka Okafor team.
No, that was the Rip Hamilton team. So that's it was the score 77-74.
That was in 1999, wasn't it?
Yeah, the 99 team. That was Elton Brand was on Duke. UConn had Rip Hamilton and Jake Voskal and Khalid El-Amin. It's a good team, but that's the closest national championship they've had.
I was gonna say not that good if they, you know, just barely won.
Well, it was their first. It was, you know, they were climbing the mountain to relevancy.
Yeah. But yeah, congrats UConn from 3 weeks in the future.
In other old sports news, I went bowling for the first time in like 10 years. And I know I sent you guys snapshots. Bowled way better than I thought I was going to. But, and this is where the old comes into play, I haven't used in 10 years. I don't know why or how, but I don't know. You wouldn't think it, but it's like my foot.
Well, because is like you bowled like 9 or 10 games. Is that what?
No, I bowled 5 games.
This just shows how unathletic you are.
No, I mean I literally don't understand. I used to bowl.
Your answer was no to you being unathletic.
I mean, listen, I used to bowl 15 games in a day. Like, you know, I just used to. It's different. It's different muscles. Different muscles. I don't know.
I mean, you used to also be able to run a mile too. Can you do that?
Slowly, probably, but, but yeah, bowled very well though. I was very surprised. So, just don't get old, kids. That's the takeaway.
So you're gonna get back out there again?
Yeah, I think so. I don't understand how I bowled. Like, I bowled a 225 and a 222. In a span of 4 games, and I was just like, I don't understand how I'm bowling this good right now. So I'm gonna once once I'm 100%, once I'm off injured reserve, I'm going to go back in there.
It's been weeks now. You're still sitting on the sideline?
No, this is old sports. It's old sports news. It's old sports news.
We talked about this before. So for listener context, Chris and I were on a bowling team many moons ago. And I think part of the reason that every time I go bowling, I do surprisingly well is because when we were in a league, we had a very challenging oil pattern, which casual bowling enjoyers may not know, makes a big difference.
Yep.
In how you perform. So if you have an easier, favorable oil pattern, you just be getting strike after strike after strike, no problem.
I thought about that too. I was like, they have to have an easy oil pattern for just regular bowl or whatever. Because like, I don't know.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
It didn't make sense. Oil pattern? Yeah.
Yeah. So they don't, you may know, they oil bowling lanes regularly to, you know, keep the ball spinning. It's not the same oil from left to right across the lane. They use different amounts of oil based on how close to the center or how close to the edge you are. And which is why, like, you know, you're looking at the PBA, you're like, oh, these guys, they make it look so hard. Well, they have really a lot more challenging oil pattern than what us Joe Schmoes use.
So is more oil better or more oil worse?
It depends. if you throw a hook, more oil is worse. But you don't want too little or else you're going to hook too much. So it's a whole thing.
Get re-oiled how often?
Daily, probably.
Yeah, like when we played league, they would oil it right before league time. Yeah.
Is there a machine that does fresh, this?
Yeah.
No, they just bucket.
Listen, I've never seen this happen before.
They just grease up a big fat guy and roll him down there.
I've learned in my old age that I'm never going to be a good bowler, and that I'm a better straight ball thrower than I am a curve ball thrower. So I now just, when I go bowling, I now just stick to throwing it dead straight down the middle as fast as humanly possible.
I think we're at the age in our lives where sometimes you encounter a thing and like you realize that there's not the potential there. You're like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother with this. And that's okay. I don't need to become an expert at this one thing.
Yeah. It's never been my thing. I've been unable to. I bet you if I really did dedicate, you know, hours and hours like you guys did, maybe I'd figure out the curve. But
so you're saying there's a chance.
But I think I did a whole bowling league 1 year too, and still couldn't pick up the curve.
What kind of ball you were throwing.
Yeah. Well, my ball now is a straight ball because that's the league did not give me the option to have a curvy ball. So the ball I own is a straight ball. In other old news.
Can we get to new news or no?
Well, no, we never talk about new news.
Okay.
Yeah. What do you know what podcast this is?
news
podcast.
I think if you go to like episode 2, I think there is a new news. I'm pretty sure that's like episode 2 or 3 is like.
What is the new news?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. I think I vaguely remember this. We had like a whole like thing.
It was a bit. Yeah. So
we told like new beer news.
Yeah. Have you heard the new news? And then.
Okay. New news. Let's see. Firefly Hollow is coming back to Connecticut. Version 2.0. They're reopening up in the Cambridge Brew Project in back in their old, I think it's Waterbury, Bristol location. None of the same owners, none of the same brewers, but they have the recipes. They're going to use the same recipes. So stand by for that. They're still going to be
gluten. Are you excited?
They're still going to be gluten light. It had been a while since I've been at Firefly Hollow. I think that was kind of why they went out of business.
Patronize.
No, I think it was a lot of people stopped patronizing them. So they're back now. And then also Dead Language Project is open, which is it's the original brewer of Alvarium who left Alvarium pre-COVID. They took over the old Hog River location in Hartford and opened up a brewery there called Dead Language. They specialize in German beer. But they also are doing Dead Sundays, where they're going to pick one Grateful Dead show and play the album that day during the time that they're open. And they're only open for like 4 hours. So that's the perfect length for a Grateful Dead show. So that's pretty cool. I like that idea. I think that's a good idea.
Last call starts at like drums too.
Well, probably like the encore, right? Like when the encore hits, you know that's the last call. That's pretty cool. I have yet to check it out, but I will, and I'll report back.
Well, we're excited for Connecticut brewery updates, new breweries, old breweries that have risen from the dead, anything in between. You know, I'm here for it.
Perfect. Well, you know what also, what else it's good for? How do I transition this?
Not as easy as it looks.
You know what? Instead of doing new news, how about we drink some beer that we have?
How about new brews?
Ooh, there it is.
It was right there. It was right there.
Right here.
That sounds good to me, Cud.
You should have just leaned into the, all this brewery and bowling talk is making me thirsty.
The tried and true.
Yeah. It was right there.
It's beer 30, and I'm thirsty. I've been working like a dog all week long, so maybe something cold won't hurt me. Cause it's beer 30, and it's time to party.
Yeah, baby.
All right, Chris, what are you drinking?
All right, so I know a while ago I mentioned that, and I don't know if I told the co-host or if I told the podcast, but I mentioned that Dana stopped and got me a bunch of random beers from...
Yeah, they're all amber beers.
Yeah, they're all... She got me a decent amount of amber ales, and I'm not the biggest amber ale fan, but I'm going to have one today that is an amber ale. And
let's go.
So solely because it's an awesome beer name, an awesome can design. So for those of you that have listened to the podcast for more than like, I don't know, an episode, you know I love Jurassic Park. It's one of my favorite movies. So
we do reference it literally every episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's true. We did stop at a brewery that, you know, one day in Asheville. And I think you bought can strictly because there was a Jurassic Park, there was a T-Rex on it.
Yeah, it was Jurassic Park themed too. Like, I think it was called He Left Us IPA or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I immediately was like, I know what that is. So, but this is from South End Brewing Company, who is out of Greensboro, North Carolina. And this is an amber ale called Dino DNA. And look at the label on it. It's two brachiosaurs and their necks are like twisted in the helix fashion. So it's like...
Like the DNA logo.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. So Dino DNA, she admitted to getting this for me because of, you know, dinosaurs.
I could see it. Definitely a crispier.
But here we go. Let's see. Maybe they can win me over because we all know not the biggest Amber fan. They're fine. I don't know what it is about them.
Ambers all over the world are very upset that you just said that. No Ambers.
Trying to think of an Amber that I like. Tell you what, if your name is Amber
that I know.
I know a few Ambers. I'll just say that.
Do any of them have mosquitoes with dinosaur DNA in them?
Ooh. Oh, I didn't even think about that. That's really good.
It could be why your beer is named Dino DNA.
I would have never thought about that in a million years. All right, here we go.
Chris could be fossilized in amber.
He'd be like, I don't like it.
Revived a million years later and still have never thought about that.
There you go. It's like a dark brown, a dark amber, as I think you would expect. I think we're getting away from a T-Rex on this one because it is pretty dark. I think we'll get some light penetration, but I don't think we're going to get the whole gosh darn thing. What do you say?
I mean, it's not off. We don't normally have beers on the show that tell you exactly, and just based on the name, what they look like when you hold light up to them.
That is true.
Very true.
You know, very true. And now after the eclipse, I'm kind of like the dinosaur thing, which I know it has to stick around. I kind of like the eclipse idea too, like total eclipse or not total eclipse. But unfortunately, can't go back now. So.
No, we're stuck. We're stuck with the T-Rex.
No new bits.
Yeah, I think Obert would actually have gotten on sooner with the light thing had it been an eclipse reference.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
No new bits allowed. All right, here we go. Let's see. First amber ale I've had on the podcast in a long time.
Titties, titties, titties beer. Just the thing to get you grinning ear to ear. Whether you're from the country or the big old city. One thing for sure everybody loves titties.
The rare quad sip review.
I think he likes it.
I think he's not sure.
I actually do like it. I like it a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Okay.
So one thing I really generally don't like about an amber ale is the aftertaste. I feel like you'd always taste kind of like a penny afterwards. Like you get that coppery taste and it is absent from this beer. A very smooth aftertaste, which I enjoy. It does hit you pretty heavy with flavor on the front half, light caramel. I don't know if even that's right, but it's definitely some sweetness in there. Just like, and then you do get some malty flavors, and then it does lighten up a lot on the back end, which
lighten up very heavy. No, you said it. That's.
I mean, yeah, it's heavy on the lightness, you know.
Yes, so, exactly.
Heavy on the lightness. Thank you for proving my genius. And I think that helps it on. Like ending the sip, because I don't get a ton of aftertaste and I don't get that weird penny copper aftertaste that I generally associate with amber ales. So it's better than I thought. There's not really a ton for me to write home about. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of people like those amber fanatics out there that are yelling at me right now. But I think this is a pretty well done one. Yeah, I mean, you get some sweetness at the front, and then it's just a nice finish on the back end. It goes down really smooth, not too crazy, and it's only like 4.9%, so chuggable by Tud standards. So
yeah, that's perfect chugging beer.
But it's good. It's good. It's nice and lighter for a darker amber beer. It's nice and light, and you know, I like it a lot more than I thought I was going to. I'll give myself that. So. I think I'm going to give it a solid 3.5.
Okay. Man, I would be annoyed if I came up with such a good name for a beer that was Dino DNA, and then I went to go to Untappd and I saw there was like five other Dino DNAs on there. But we do have the one from Southend on here.
Okay.
611 check-ins.
Okay. Ooh. I didn't expect it to be that high considering I had not heard of this place. And it's, I mean, Greensboro is only like an hour from my house, so... should probably make the trip, because I mean this is a good start. I feel like Untappd, much like myself, is not an amber beer kind of place. I feel like stouts and IPAs, sours reign supreme, right? I feel like it, but low check-in count.
Because I think if you don't like ambers, like kind of like you, you're probably not going to go to a brewery and order them.
Yeah,
unless the name is Dino DNA.
That's also very true.
It's true.
All right, I'm going to give, for some reason, I feel like it's going to be too low. I feel like it's going to be too low, but I'm going to give it I'm going to say it's a 3.82 on Untappd.
I thought you were going to get it. It's lower than that.
Oh, shit,
it's
really?
Quite a bit lower than that, actually.
Wow, is it low enough that he loses a point?
Not that low.
I don't think it's that low.
It's a 3.64.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fitting. It's about what I was trying to decide if I wanted to be a hard ass like I always am. Everybody knows Chris, the hard ass, or if I wanted to be generous and give it a 3.75. So literally 3.64 is like right where I wanted to put it.
Smacked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Southend, listen, from an amber disliker, but Dino lover, you didn't do bad. Don't take this as a loss. I know you're listening.
Well, you have to try them again.
For sure.
And if you have something cool and refreshing to enjoy the rest of the episode with.
100%.
Even if it's not your favorite.
Yeah, for sure.
And at least you're not the mosquito, right?
It's true. Or the people who get eaten by the dinosaurs in every single movie. You could be one of them, too.
Or you could be the meteor. A lot of people don't have sympathy for the meteor, but that couldn't have been fun, running into the Earth.
That's,
you know?
True. It's true. But, you know, it kind of was the meteor's choice to hit the Earth. It's not like the Earth is, you know, the Earth just does its thing. That meteor came out of nowhere.
Sounds like you've been in a T-bone collision before. But I am interested to see what you have to bring on the podcast tonight, Ted.
Me too. So, my beer this week is something a little bit different. I opened the beer fridge, I looked in, and I said, you know, it was 75 degrees here. We're starting to get finally some nice weather in Connecticut. You know, as we all know, Connecticut only has 82 sunny days a year. So on one of those sunny days, I felt it was good to drink a sunny drink. So I have by a brewery that we normally don't have on the podcast, a Pineapple Passion Guava Radler from Jack's Abbey Craft Lagers.
Ooh, a Radler.
Interesting.
Yeah, a style. So two styles we normally don't have on the podcast so far, Amber and Radler.
Yeah. I will say, though, I freaking love Radlers and Shandies. They're so good. Continue.
I like them too. I don't drink enough of them, and it's partly because I don't like the Leinenkugel.
That's the best Dielen beer.
I know you're a big fan. I like the Porch Rocker. They don't stay in season long enough. I actually think it's probably Porch Rocker season now, or I've missed it and it's already summer ale season. That's by Sam Adams, in case for the listeners who aren't aware. But this thing comes in at 4% ABV. It's 100 calories. It has 6.5 carbs per 12-ounce can. It is a 12-ounce can. It says we live for lager on it, and it says drink more rad. Our tropical wild child in the bunch. Step fusion mash. It says the most refreshing beer style for fun in the sun. The Radler was invented for crowds of German cyclists, and we're sharing that beer in fruit blends with whatever you are up to this summer. Was canned on April 13th, 2023. So coming in right at a year mark. Good for us.
Yeah. Ooh. Clearly. Actually, now that you mention it, 7 episodes until oldest beer in the fridge.
We're getting there.
Wow. Wow.
No, oldest beer in the house.
Right.
So for some, that's the cellar. For others, it's the fridge.
Correct. I have to go digging.
Did you want me to explain what a Radler is?
Yeah, go ahead.
And what the difference between a Radler and a Shandy is. It's basically a Shandy is a blonde lager, usually a Pils or a Helles beer, mixed with lemonade. So that's a Shandy is with lemonade or a lemon lime soda, like a 7-Up. While a Radler can be mixed with any form of fruit juice, including grapefruit, like Todd's favorite beer, the Stiegel Radler.
That's the... the Schafferhofer?
Oh, Schafferhofer. I forgot it was the...
Schafferhofer grapefruit, yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. It's just so sweet. All right, let's taste this. Let's taste this thing out. As you guys can see, it is relatively clear. Light, you know, it is a lager, right? T-Rex is probably not going to see you, though. I mean, it does light up pretty well, so chances are you might blind the thing trying to get out of it. But it is not in any way, shape, or form hard to see through this beer. As you guys can see, my nice, awesome cereal glass. On the nose, it does smell like pineapple juice. So I'm expecting it to taste like pineapple. And probably passion fruit and guava. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. And I'm drinking well, you know that you're my friend, and I'll say, I
think I'll have myself a beer. Interesting. So it's very light. I guess I should have guessed that when it comes in at 4% ABV. Very light. The fruit, the pineapple, the passion, and the guava is very subtle. It's a lot more pineapple forward than either of the other fruits. I mean, pineapple is definitely a stronger flavor than passion fruit and or guava, at least in my opinion. It does have a very strong lager aftertaste, which is good. I like lagers. So, you know, so does Jack's Abbey, considering that's their whole thing.
Yeah, you mentioned, what was their tagline? Like, long live the lager or something like that?
We live for lager.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we've said this before on the podcast, that they only brew lagers.
Yeah, they do everything in lager format. So you want to, their IPA is a you know, hoppy lager. It's...
Or, as they call them now, cold IPAs.
Correct. Correct. I don't think they invented that name.
Yeah. I'm a big IPL guy. It's not a cold IPA. It's just marketing trash. Yeah.
Agreed. This is one brewery that I've always wanted to go to, and I've never made it to. And maybe now that the weather's getting a little bit warm, you know, I drink a lot of IPAs and stouts. And after drinking a lot of IPAs and stouts, it is nice. You know, Chris, I think you can attest to this after drinking an amber ale. It's nice to try something different every now and then.
Yeah, for sure.
So maybe it's worth that ride to wherever the hell they are in Massachusetts, Framingham. So really not even that far. To go see Jack's Abbey. That's probably like an hour drive.
Yeah. And a little bit of a Patreon plug. I also drank something a little bit less. We have less frequently. Mm. But if you want to find out, you got to tune in. Sign up. Give us $1 a month.
I like it. I like that tease. Overall, pretty good. I was kind of hoping I would get a little bit more of fruity flavors, but you know, coming in at 4% ABV, you know, you kind of get what you expect. But this is a very refreshing drink. It's a good yard work beer. Just get done, you know, mowing the lawn, want to cool down. This is a perfect grab out of the fridge. You know, it's not a Bud Light, it's not a Coors Light. It's definitely a lot more flavor than either one of those two. So if you're in the area,
good bike riding beer.
There you go. If you're in the area of Jack's Abbey, you know, I recommend going to pick this up. If you're not, you know, I'm sure there are breweries near you that brew Radlers as well. And you know, let this be the reminder to don't just be an IPA or stout boy. Go out and find something else.
Yeah. I did do some checking, fact checking. I don't know if I'd call it fact check, but the Porch Rocker is in the Sam Adams Summer Variety Pack. So it seems like whenever you can find the Sam Adams Summer Ale, you should also be able to see the Porch Rocker on shelves.
Okay. Is that a Radler or is that a Shandy?
It's a Lemon Radler.
So maybe that's why I enjoy Porch Rocker more than Leinenkugel. Because I think Leinenkugel is a Shandy.
Yeah.
The Summer Shandy. It is, yeah. Yeah.
I think we figured it out, boys.
Sam Adams, this year they're having a pool party, which is a Citrus Hazy Pale Ale. It seems like it's like their hazy little thing.
Oh, it's a beer. I thought they were actually having a pool party. I was excited.
That would be cool. I would go to that. But no, yeah, it's a beer in their variety pack.
Fun.
All right. I'm going to give this. It's a good beer. It's not. This. I think this is actually like a real 3.75. Like it's not good enough to be a 4, but it's not bad enough to be a 3.5.
Okay.
I think this is a real 3.75. It's good. Would I go out of my way to maybe buy this exact one again? I'd probably look for other flavors, personally, from Jack's Abbey, just to see if there was something that fit me a little bit more. I think this would be nice with like an orange in it. So I think 3.75.
Oh, you mean like
good.
A fruit of orange in this beer, not the orange, not like an orange version of this beer?
No, I think like an orange version of this beer, I think would be like really, really, really good. Like an orange lemon version of this beer, I think would be fantastic.
Don't fruit the beer.
What's that?
Don't fruit the beer. I was on a commercial somewhere. Sorry.
Oh. What do we got for Untappediverse?
So, there is 936 check-ins on this beer.
I mean, I'd like to think that it's going to be somewhere close to me. I mean, I am man of the people. But it's also, it's not a hazy boy. But nothing from Jack's Abbey really is. So I think it's going to be a lot of beer drinkers. Like dedicated beer drinkers. People who like beer have had this beer. I'm going to go with 3.76. I don't think that's a very...
Stand by your rating. I like it.
I don't think that's a very oftenly guessed number either.
And honestly, for good reason, because this is much lower than that. In fact, I am still in the lead with that.
Wow!
I think. I didn't do the math, but I'm pretty sure. It is a 3.37.
Holy shit!
Yeah, very low. Wow.
It's not that bad.
No, I mean, it doesn't sound that bad.
Just to be clear with the listeners, this is not that bad of a beer. We've had some awful beer on this podcast.
Yeah, I mean, that just sounds like Radler hatred right there.
Yeah, I think it's probably just, it's probably...
All us Shandy boys are out there trying to
You know what it is, and I don't want to disparage any particular... you know, side of the, you know, I don't want to disparage any of the sexes. So I'm just going to say it's probably that somebody who liked beer brought their significant other who didn't like beer and said, hey, you know, what can this person have here? And they said, this is really fruity. It'll be really nice. And they rated it a low rating.
Counterpoint. I'm a big loggerhead. I go and I get a flight board of Pilsners. I got a little Helles. I got some, you know, a Bock on there. And then, you know, I get this Radler. It's kind of the odd man out. So maybe they're the ones who are rating it low.
I could see that if you had come from drinking like an Amber Lager and a Helles and maybe a Bock and you had this, I think the flavors would be very odd to you. I think actually you might not taste a lot of the flavors because I think like that Bock would kind of destroy the ability to taste the light fruitiness of this beer.
3.25. Check it in. Boom.
I like that. I like that argument. I still think, I think I'm slightly right too, but.
No, I think I could see both weighing it down.
Yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, okay. Ober, it's your turn to keep Chris from tying you.
Wide open tonight.
I know, right?
And I gotta say, you both picked, I didn't want to say this before you guessed because I didn't want to weigh you one way or another. But this is what happens when you have like just your standard American beer that we're guessing, not these like fruity triple hazy IPA things, or you know, your 14%. Yeah, 14%, you know, chocolate cookie crisp, you know, stout here. These are beers that are going to be lower, and we're going to have to put our thinking cap on. So, but I'm actually going to give Chris a pass this week because I got some more rums.
No, Obert.
Yeah.
What the hell?
We're continuing winning the streak. Liquor cabinet.
Let's go.
Obert. You could drink those next week.
I got it. Hey, I'm on a mission here. I want some continuity. I had two rums last week. I got two more this week. And these have been in my cabinet for probably like 6 months waiting for their time in the sun. Or, you know, as we discussed on the pregame, in the shadow of the sun. and these are from a local rum distillery by me. Haven't tried these before. Really excited to. So looks like Chris will get the point with the 0.17. Woo. But we'll get to the honking.
Obert,
after
the door
my
is wide open. You could walk right through.
I mean, we could count my pregame 0.02.
No,
guess.
That doesn't count. Unfortunately,
it was very good though. I just want everybody to know on the main show that I was 0.02 off.
You were. So. You were like right on the money. I mean, Obert. I don't think I've ever been this disappointed in you. I'm sure there has been other times, but
I think it's the right thing to do. No,
Zay, if this was a sitcom, it would cut to every other time in my life that Todd has said I've never been this disappointed. in you.
It could have been a montage.
You'd be like, no, I think that's my last beer for the night. No, house well drinks, $5. No, I'm going to stick with
the
beer.
I think that was Chris that pressured you into that one.
No.
Anyway.
Actually, you know what? So I don't think it was either one of us. I think it was Obert wanting to join the fun.
That's a conversation for another day. Let's get back to my rum review here because I have two fun and exciting rums. This is from Portal Rum. They are based in Kalispell, I believe. Yeah, Portal Spirits is their company. They don't have a tasting room. They're very hard to find any information from. I've never seen them have like a little tasting in the liquor store or whatever. I thought about reaching out to them before the podcast. Maybe I'll reach out after, see if they have anything else they want to have me rate review here. But I have two of their rums. I have their Tropical Tundra and I have their Flathead Fog. Because these are little nips, I don't have any more information other than a government warning about the flavors here. So I don't know. Which one do you think I should crack open first?
Wait a second. What's the government warning on the flavors?
Oh.
What's the government trying to tell you about the flavors?
Don't operate heavy machinery or drink while you're pregnant.
I thought there was a government warning about the flavors of the rum. And I was like, wait a second.
I wish. So yeah, which one should I start with here? The Tropical Tundra or the Flathead Fog?
It doesn't tell you like more than that.
Flathead Fog.
I'm going to go. Okay. I was going to say Tundra.
Well, you were too slow.
Damn.
And I'm excited. Kind of excited because I get to use my little Drekker mini tasting tool.
Ooh.
Don't get very many chances to use this in this household. So happy to put it to good use. I think I was reflecting more on my reviews from last week. I was so flustered by Mr. Oscar and the, you know, all the Chiefs were watching. I feel like I didn't give the rum its due rating by just having a little swig. So that's why I do have this little taster. We're going to pour it around, swirl it around. See if we can't get some more aromas going on here.
So the bowling alley near my house, Monday through Thursday, has $2 games until 7 p.m.
Damn.
There you go. We should go for some happy hour after work. So first of all, we got to open the cabinet. Oh, there we go. More muted this week. I like the Ted version better. So like I said, these are...
I was like, I thought you were going to know that wasn't the real version, so...
Okay, so this is the Flathead Fog. Again, I've had these nips for like 6 months, and they're in the little tiny plastic bottles. I'm hoping that doesn't influence the flavor, but I got to say, aroma-wise, I'm not super impressed. Very dull, muted aroma.
Mm.
Just maybe some vanilla notes. Holding up to the camera here, kind of a not a solid golden color. This is, you know, whatever, 14 SRM maybe.
Just, I think a T-Rex would find you through it.
Yeah, but just a little more like golden straw than straight up Trump toilet gold, you know? Aroma, I'm not super impressed, but with the rum, it's all about the flavor, so let's find out.
I like beer. It makes me
no, this is not the drop for this one. I like beer. I gotta veto this one.
It helps me unwind.
We gotta have a rum drop.
Sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Maybe we can find like a Captain Jack Sparrow that I could put in
that's
there.
That's what you get for not drinking a beer and just giving Chris the point.
Well, he is the master of the soundboard. Who am I to argue?
Listen, while it works.
I do get a little bit of that vanilla. Super light on the molasses element of it. It is quite sweet, but definitely more granulated sugar than brown sugar, right? Like you can imagine it's that more refined sweetness than the raw sugar sweetness. But not a lot of flavor comes through at all. Like I said, that vanilla, that refined sugar. I think this is... I truly believe there's, you know, I haven't had a bad rum. Just every rum has its place. This one, I think, would do fine in a super fruity cocktail, like a rum punch, perhaps. Where the flavor of the rum isn't really as important as its sweetness. So I would think you could even use this in a rum and Coke and be pretty happy with it, right? Because the Coca-Cola is going to give you a lot more of that caramel flavors.
Right.
This rum, I'll have to use the rest of this in a rum and Coke. I don't have any Coke with me right now, but I'll report back. I'll let you know how the Flathead Fog rum and Coke is. I think it's time to turn to the Tropic Tundra. See what I get out of this. If I get maybe a little bit more tropical notes, as the name would imply. Definitely fruitier on the nose. Something smells a little off about it. I can't put my finger on what. Buttered popcorn. You know the artificial buttered popcorn flavor you get in like
out of like the buttered
popcorn? No, this is like the buttered popcorn Jelly Belly jelly bean is what this smells like. I know that's incredibly specific, but sometimes you have incredibly specific smells, and butter popcorn Jelly Belly jelly beans don't smell like butter popcorn. They smell like butter popcorn Jelly Belly jelly beans. It's like the fake butter that you get at the movie theater.
Okay.
I get some more raisiny notes, a little bit of like a dried apricot, maybe. Again, very subtle on the nose, but let's see how it tastes.
See if I have a drop for that one.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up.
Okay, let's see. So they're both, and I didn't look at this before, they're both 40% alcohol by volume, but this one hits you with the alcohol a lot more. It's a lot more of the burn, both on your tongue, your throat, your nose. Get a lot more of the burn on this one. Those aromas come through in the flavor too. I feel like butter is more of a texture than a flavor normally, so it's weird to have the flavor without the texture, but you get it in this. I don't know. It's hard to rate these without
what? Butter is more of a texture than a flavor?
Yeah. I feel like butter like coats your mouth in oil
with a butter flavor.
Yeah, but like if you were to have some like melted butter, it would be like coating your mouth with the oiliness as much as you get the butter flavor.
Maybe. I mean, if I put butter on a piece of corn, I taste the butter.
Okay. I gotta take another sip and think more thoughts. I was going somewhere, and then we had this whole butter textured flavor debate.
You said the words, not me.
Oh yeah, I remember now. I had to take a sip to remind me. I don't know where I would drink this rum. I would love to know like a commercial rum that they are basing this off of, what kind of barreling process they used. I do, unlike the last one where I got the more refined sugar, I get a little bit more of that molassesy raw sugar flavor. Sugar cane, maybe, as opposed to the refined stuff. Off the bat, I would probably mix this with a pineapple drink, like I've had the Jungle Bird on the show. I think this would be good in that, or a painkiller. Both good pineapple drinks. Pina colada. This would be really interesting to try in a pina colada. I like a darker rum, but I think you could bring out some really cool flavors if you use this with a pina colada. And hey, again, Tropical Tundra. That makes sense, right? Those are all pretty good tropical drinks I mentioned.
True.
That I could see this going really well in. So I'll have to try that again. These are nips. Would I buy a full bottle to add this to my collection? I think the Tropical Tundra, I could see that. I could see that more than the Flathead Fog. Flathead Fog, I didn't feel like there was room in my liquor cabinet for this one. It didn't really seem like it filled a purpose that I don't have other rums that could do better. But the Tropical Tundra, I think that could be a fun spin on some good tropical drinks to use this rum. So that'd be my recommendation. If you see them in the store and you wanted to try one, try the tropical one, because I think in a drink, you're going to get more interesting results than just straight up. I wasn't sure, again, coming to the show, how to review these, if I should just have them straight, have them in a drink. I didn't want to review the drink, you know what I mean? So right. This is why I drank them straight. And I don't know how to rate them. I actually Googled today, like, how to rate rums, because we spend so long, you know, we have our untapped scale dialed in. Every cocktail I make is a 5 out of 5, of course. But rating the rum, I think it's hard to do, because they're all so unique. So they're all so different. But I say that I like the Tundra more. 0 to 5, I would say the Tundra is a 4, where the Fog is more like a 3. So that's where I'm going to come down on those. Not a lot of granularity on those numbers. But I like them. I have seen the price point on these, and I think they're kind of expensive. So I have a hard time recommending them over some of the bigger guys. But if you want to support a local independent small batch rum distillery, give these guys a shout out, give them a try. They're not bad. There we go. Doors closed. Before we go, Todd, do you have some news that you wanted to share with us?
Yeah, so I was perusing the interwebs, and I found this article that beer thieves in West Haven, Connecticut used a forklift to steal $54,000 worth of Mexican brews late last year. Apparently they got caught. Between November 18th and November 19th, Star Distributors in West Haven, Connecticut lost $54,000 worth of Corona and Modelo beer from rail yards and warehouses throughout the region. The crooks cut the fencing, smashed the freight car locks, and loaded pallets of the popular beers onto trucks for resale in New York City. It was led by some guy named Jose Cry Cesari, and he was the beer theft he called his venture the beer theft enterprise. Apparently, they also hit up locations in Massachusetts, New Jersey, and New York and stole more beer. So this article did not say how much they think in total Mr. Beer Theft Enterprise stole, but $54,000 from West Haven, where he stole 1,800 cases of beer.
Damn.
Yeah, I see this that says, a different article says that from July 22 to March of 24, the ring reaped hundreds of thousands of dollars. So lots of beer stealing.
Hey, he had a clientele that wanted some Mexican lagers, and he had to go make sure that he procured them. But yeah, that's interesting. Chris has already admitted to also being part of the ring.
Yep.
It is in our, it's in our Discord chat, so that did actually happen. I have a screenshot. So Chris, be prepared for the cops to show up at your door.
How would you guys steal beer? If I told you, do you guys watch that show Ozark, where the guy was like basically had a gun to their head and was like, "You gotta do crimes for me." If I had a gun to your head and was like, "You gotta steal beer for me." You think train is the way you would come up with to steal all the beer?
I mean, how much beer do I need to steal?
Like a train car's worth.
Well, then yes, I think getting a train in a few trucks may be the best play. But like a lot of times when I'm walking around like cities and stuff, those beer truck drivers, they leave their doors wide open. So there's no reason you couldn't just walk by and snag a six pack every now and then. Like they're gone
Just take the truck.
True.
Drive it away.
But truck's a lot easier to find than me stealing six pack after six pack out of the open door.
So you're taking the one spoonful at a time approach to paying off this beer debt you owe.
I would probably unload some of my own personal beer that I own first. I might be able to pay back the loan times like two with the amount of beer in my house, but
that's true. You kind of have the argument of who needs to steal beer when I have much in my house.
I've prepped for being, you know, offered or being told that I had to give somebody beer or else they'd kill me.
It's true. Chris, how about you? How would you steal the beer?
Honestly, as someone who uses forklifts regularly, well, okay, I haven't driven one in a while, but I could pick it back up.
It's like riding a bike.
It's like riding a bike. I mean, forklift, I think, is the way to go.
I guess if you're good at it, you could be really efficient with unloading a train.
Yeah, probably fine.
I mean, you know, a pallet jack. I'm good at riding or driving pallet jacks.
That's going to be a little bit tougher, though. Not as much height on that. Can't just take the whole train away. What if it's a long con? If it's a train, right? You first go to locomotive school, right? Like, this is where you have to start. You have to start from the bottom, right? You work your way up, and you finally get a job at the train station, train company, whatever you want to say. What are you doing? Whatever odds and ends you need. Eventually, 3 to 6 years of hard work, you get bumped up. You're the main server in the drink car, right? Well, little did you, like, you know, like clockwork, couple years go by, you know, hey, listen, my driver likes his hot tea at 9 a.m. But who knows? Maybe, you know what? Side note, you have to go get a degree in chemistry. This is another thing that you have to do. So
I have to become a train conductor and locomotive driver. Plus a chemist.
Plus a chemist.
Also a chemist. Yes. Yeah.
And you have to work your way up to become the main drink server on the train. So, you know, 9 o'clock.
And then you have an engineer who likes hot tea.
whoever's driving the train. Yeah. Well, you put in a little bit of something because you're a chemist. You know what's not going to kill him. Because listen, all you're doing is stealing beer. You don't want anybody's lives on your hands.
Bodies on your hands. Yeah.
So you know exactly how much to give this locomotive person to, you know, knock him out, put him in a daze for a while. Then all of a sudden, you know, 9:15 rolls around like a light, boom, out. And you're like, oh my goodness, who can drive the train? Be like, well, you know, I dabbled back in the day. Little did you know, you're the best train driver ever. You do. Oh, also, you need another friend that also went to trade school. So
okay, I'm following.
I'm lost.
So you're driving the train now. You're the savior, right? You do this little special hiccup thing where you just like you hit the levers, you hit the brakes real fast.
Of course, yep.
it unhooks the beer cart. So the train that has the beer, boom, it unhooks because of the jiggling you do.
Oh, like you do the switch tracks thing halfway through the middle of the train?
Sort of. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Kinda. And then what happens? No one even notices because they're just like, oh my goodness, this guy's saving the day. Yeah. Like they're like, oh, he made a little bit of a mistake, but no big deal. But here comes your other friend with the other train, picks up the beer, takes it back to the base. And then me with a forklift is there, and I unload it.
I had a good plan, but I don't think it's as good as yours.
I mean, what if you just...
I think that's pretty foolproof.
Jesus Christ. What if you just became the conductor of the train?
No, they'll see it coming.
Yeah, you need an alibi.
And the words of that guy on Happy Gilmore and the gif that I just sent, what you've just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I reward you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Well,
anyway. So how would I do it? I'm glad you asked.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Oh, you want it? You want to actually answer this?
Well, mine's also a long con, like Chris's.
Okay, here we go.
Jesus.
You get a job as an assistant brewer.
Ooh, okay.
You gain their trust.
You're coming from the other side.
You go, you take those bright tanks, just drain like 10% of it out into, you know, some kegs, roll those away, fill up with water, and they just have some diluted beer. And nobody ever knows. And you're just stealing 10% of the beer forever. And they're like, oh, beer's a little weaker than we thought it should be. ever since we hired this Obert guy. But it seems like it's still coming out pretty good. So that's you work at the brewery and you steal a little bit from every batch and water down the rest. That's how I'm going to steal the beer.
I think just snagging it out of the back of the beer truck is just a good idea. One 6-pack at a time.
Well, tell you what, let's ask Discord. Who's the best?
If you can think of a better way to steal beer. Yeah.
Can you come up with a better way of stealing beer than
so? We need two things in Discord. We need a poll of for the Discord of our three options, plus your suggestions on how you would do it better than us.
What method of transportation? Rail, sea, land, air, whatever. What are you using to steal the beer? That's what we want to know. So this week, like I mentioned, Chris, honk, honk, honk.
Boom.
Honk, honk, honk.
Winning streak.
You earned it. 0.17 off.
I earned it. That sentence does not sound like I earned it.
You definitely earned it. 38 points. Let me put it on the board right now. Good job.
Why, thank Captain you. Amber. Thank you.
And unfortunately, it seems like we have no time for handles this week. We ran a little long, so
save your handle for next week.
What the hell is this? I got a handle.
Save it for next week.
Okay, you have 30 seconds.
It's a good handle for Chris. I've got a coffee handle.
Okay, hot, cold, room temperature?
It is a coffee protein shake, actually.
I am intrigued.
So it's
Mug of wisdom. Okay, go.
So it's a protein shake called Chicky, C-H-I-K-E. It is made with espresso and protein powder. It comes in a variety of different flavors, like caramel macchiato, vanilla, original. But it does have caffeine in it, and it has in the normal packages it has 2 shots of espresso in it, and in the ultra package or whatever it's called, it has 3 shots of espresso in it. This stuff is delicious. It comes with 20 grams of protein, so in case you want to get super swole while drinking coffee, go look up Chicky. It's available on Amazon. You can actually buy a combo pack or like a sampler pack. I think it's like $20 and you get eight packets, 2 of each flavor. It's the 4 like normal flavors. So far so good. It's delicious. Go check it out. It's a great way to either, if you want to have pre-workout before your workout, that's a good way to pump yourself up. You don't have to drink the random stuff that you don't know what's in the pre-workout. This is just coffee. Chicky protein, or you could drink it for breakfast.
Yeah, I do like how instead of you coming at it from the approach of someone who's working out who wants the caffeine boost, you say someone who's drinking coffee who also wants to get swole. I like that. But my question is it made with like chickpea protein?
No.
Interesting.
No, I don't know what it's made with whey. So it's your standard whey
no
protein.
Way.
No, with
all,
whey.
All whey. All whey.
Yeah.
All
Yahweh.
Whey. Yahweh.
Yahweh. Yahweh. Not Yahweh, but Yahweh. And each package comes in at, somewhere between 140 and 110 calories. Good stuff. Chris, I recommend this for you. I think you would actually really like it. It's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually just talking to Dana this morning about, like, I need to up my protein intake, so...
Well, something for you.
I might just do it.
You can... There's like even a buy now or button on it right now on Amazon. You could just order it, and it comes right to your house.
We all know how I've gotten into trouble doing that before.
I'll give the mug off to Obert.
Oh, okay.
No. I didn't just waste the handle to do it by myself.
No, yeah, you're the only one this week. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've been watching The Three Body Problem and I read the book. Pretty good book. Pretty good show. I don't want to spoil it. Check them both out.
Is there like an overview? It's like a murder mystery?
It's a sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, the whole thing is it's written by a Chinese author and translated into English. And it's the first book I think I've ever read by a Chinese author. And so it's the structures of like the sentences and the paragraphs are very unusual compared to English lit that I'm familiar with. And it was a kind of a refreshing take on like, oh, this is cool to read a sci-fi book that was like translated from Chinese. And it incorporates some of the history of the Chinese Revolution that I never learned in school. But it's also a really enticing sci-fi story. So if you like sci-fi, if you are a literature fan, the show seems like they've taken some pretty big deviations from the book, but I think all the plot points are going to still be there. So I read the book first, still working my way through the show on Netflix, but I really like the book. The show, it's also pretty good.
Cool.
What do you got, Chris? I guess we're doing handles.
All right, real quick, I will put over the book series that I've been reading. It's an older one, but I know they just came out with like the fourth book, I think. But I decided to reread them because it had been a long time since I listened to them. But I am currently listening to The Stormlight Archives by Brendan Anderson. If you are not familiar, it's a really, really good book series so far, based in a fantasy realm where, I mean, not going too deep into it, but basically people can suck in Stormlight and they get a bunch of magic powers and stuff. So, spoilers. But I've been really enjoying it. I listened to it a long time ago and I was just going to jump into one of the newer books. And I was like, you know what? Let me go back and re-listen and do all that stuff. And I'm glad I have, because I've picked up like a lot of stuff I completely forgot about and all that. But it's a very good book. I'm deep into book two right now. So more to come. But if you're looking for a new set of books, Stormlight Archive by Brandon Sanderson, really good.
So with that, we'd like to thank the brewers who provided today's beers. I will thank Jack's Abbey for their Pineapple Passion Guava Rattler.
I would like to thank South End Brewing Company for their Dino DNA Amber Ale.
And I want to thank Portal Rum for both their Flathead Fog and the Tropical Tundra.
Please make sure you head over to social media and follow us everywhere at DAWF Podcast. Also, make sure you hashtag follow the email at DAWFpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're sending those emails. Our email is kind of lonely. Ever since we got a Discord, nobody wants to email us anymore. So send us what you're having for breakfast.
Stamps, man. Forever stamps are so expensive now. I thought they're going up to like 73 cents.
That's ridiculous. To send a piece of mail? Might as well just get rid of mail. Yeah, also, make sure you head over to Discord, join the conversation over there. And if you want to join our Patreon, for as little as $1 a month, 25 cents a week on weeks on months that have 4 weeks, 20 cents a week on weeks or months that have 5 weeks, you know, go do that too, where we get extra episodes of Drinking Alone with Friends. Past 2 weeks, two episodes. It's a good deal. It also comes out on the day that we record, not the day that the episode drops. So remember that too. If you want more Drinking Alone with Friends in your life during our time, during our 2 weeks, you know, period, Patreon's the best way to go there. And finally, head over to wherever you get your podcast from. Give us a 5-star rating and a review. And tell your friends, family, grandma's pastor, everybody, tell them about this podcast. Your grandma must have a new pastor by now. Pastors are never really that young. Your grandma's probably not really that young. We've been on the air for a long time.
You got a new grandma by now.
I'm sure that pastor's passed away. So tell that new grandma pastor.
Your grandpa's onto his fifth wife by now.
Exactly. And with that, thank you for listening. My name's Todd.
My name's Chris.
And I'm Obert. And remember, if you're drinking alone, do it with friends.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around how we needed another accomplice in Chris's story.
Yeah, well, clearly you just don't have a mind
for crimes.
Yeah.
And we needed to learn chemistry to just, you know, dose somebody up with drugs so they passed out.
Just stick to jobs. Just stick to jobs, like real jobs.
The legal ones.
Yeah, the legal jobs.
That's good at legal employment. Yeah. You should put that on your resume. Really good at doing jobs that are allowed by the law.
Yeah, not good at being a criminal.
Yeah.
Strengths, not a criminal. Weakness, unable to be criminal.
Maybe that's what you say that for the interview. When they ask what your three biggest weaknesses are, say, I can't break the law.
I don't know how to drive a train. I'm not a chemist, and I can't break the law.